Thank you. God bless you, Sister Keziah. This one, our sister that led us in prayer. Amen. Father, we are so excited, humbled, and just so thankful to be in your presence tonight. Father, thank you for the grace that is upon everyone on this altar. Father, thank you for the hunger you have stirred in our hearts, that we just want you. That's all we want, because we know that you are the answer to everything. So continue to teach us, guide us, and lead us by your Spirit as you reveal your Son Jesus to us. Thank you so much tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll just continue with what the Lord is doing. Of course, we are very thankful and privileged to be part of what God is doing in your life as we are all on this line. So we just continue to build up on some of the things the Lord is preparing us for. As you can see, we are living in a very trying times. We are living in a time where nations are beginning to bow to the pressure of sin, and communities are collapsing under the weight of rebellion, and men are literally promoting sin. Just Christianity is almost under such pressure, you know. And but these are the times that God wants us to really thrive, you know, since he's been preparing us. So the Bible is so clear about the days we're living in and the things we're going to see. But at the same time, you know, it's always a time that God has been preparing his people to reveal his glory and his presence. But before we see that outpouring, we see the glorious expectations of our prayers. Before we really see some major manifestations, breakthroughs in our lives, promotions, you know, it's very, very easy sometimes to give up. And the reason I'm saying this as an intercessor, as faithful men and women of God, as ministers in your areas of work, in whatever you're doing, as much as we pray, as much as we seek God, we cannot be in denial that we have needs. We cannot be in denial that sometimes we feel weary. Sometimes we can't be in denial that sometimes we feel overwhelmed. And sometimes we get refreshed, we get blessed, but we want to also arm ourselves with understanding, even in every situation, so that we will be those who finish to the end, who persevere until we see breakthrough, who press on until we win, you know? So there are things that the Lord has been teaching us. There are things in the Bible that teaches us and helps us to understand how to be a winner, how to live a life of a winner, how to endure to the place of victory, how to tarry, how to, you know, wait upon the Lord until you see victory. The reason is because we live in a fallen world. You know, before Adam and Eve fell, we all know the story. The garden was beautiful. Everything was there. There was no problem. They were having great times. But after the enemy sneaked in and caused war, there was a fall. And that fall means now we have an enemy in the world. We have an enemy. From that point, Jesus says, the kingdom of God suffers violence. The violent take it by force. We're going to be looking at that another time. But ever since then, from the fall of man, we are in opposition. Again, we cannot live in denial there was a fall. But at the same time, that's why God came in the form of flesh, his own son. And that's why he paid this awesome price to take on the sin, everything that the enemy has accused man of, every root of the fall. He paid the price, died, and gave us victory on the cross. So we cannot afford to be in denial that Satan has been defeated. Satan has been defeated, period. And the blood of Jesus bears witness of that. That is why the blood still speaks today. So we can't be in denial that the world has fallen. Of course, the prince of this world still controls the mindset of the world. But we cannot be in denial that, yes, the victory has finally come. So what is the problem, especially after we are born again, we are Christians, how do we take back? How do we win battles? How do we obtain promises? How do we, you know, fight through our destinies or overcome strives to get to the point of winning the battles in marriage to avoid divorce, or to fight for a child that is wayward until that child comes to the Lord, no matter how long it takes? How do we stand a ministry where everything says give up and you don't give up until you see victory and breakthrough? Just think about your job places, the things sometimes that makes you dread to go to work, you want to quit, but you're praying. How do we don't want to faint in prayer? How do we avoid that? What are some of the things that the Lord is teaching us, or by His Spirit, that we need to arm our lives with so that we are those who finish the race and finish it well with victory? If you remember, Paul gave a very an illustration of the Christian life when he talks about there are many who run in a race, but run with the mind to win. Run with not with those who just beat the air in vain, but run with an end result in mind to be a winner. So how do we get that? Before we read some scriptures and look at again why God honored the cry of Moses, and through that prayer today, we are receiving understanding on how we can finish well, finish like Paul, finish in spite of every opposition, finish our calling in this world, and finish everything like Jesus did, like the apostle. How can we finish well, finish strong? It's all here in the Bible. But let me use this illustration before we read the scripture, especially for praying people, because there is no better way to serve God and to oppose the spiritual forces of our generation than through prayer and a lifestyle of consecration and the fear of God. So, for example, when Paul was talking about using the Christianity as a race, you see, in a race, for example, a marathon race, you see sometimes a lot of people, sometimes you watch it on television, you see a lot of people will begin a race. Or in the track race we do around stadiums, sometimes you have 30 people or even 100 people just hear that gun, shoot, they begin a race. They have been training a little bit, but when you're running with other people, there's something, a pressure that comes. So they start this race, and if you notice it, many start, and by the time they go around and the number, you see the number kept reducing and keep reducing and keep reducing. Eventually, a few people make it to the end and cut that rope, you know. So it is not how you begin. It is how you finish and endure to the end. The end goal of every prayer is to obtain victory, is to win, is to break through. And so how do we learn to overcome these torrents and tidal waves of that opposes the process of getting to the finishing line in the different things that and in the areas of assignment God has given us without giving up? So here's how Jesus put it. He says, this familiar scripture we're about to read, because this has again to do with Moses' prayer. You know, Moses finished, but probably didn't finish the way he should have, because God said, just come on home. Elijah finished, but maybe he didn't finish the way he should, because certain things happened and God said, come home. You know, how do we be like Paul and the apostles? They finished. They said, I have finished my cause. You know, Jesus says, it is finished. At the age of 33 plus, he finished an assignment. So how do we finish? Not only the ultimate finishing line by the time we leave, but in the various things, our daily lives, our weekly lives, our monthly lives, our ministry life, marriage life, every, you know, these areas of life that we face reality with. How do we finish? Let me read this scripture that will help us a little bit to learn this thing that God is really teaching me in this season, and it's wonderful in my soul. Luke chapter 18, it says, Jesus says, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. That's mankind, ought always to pray and not to give up and not to faint. You see, in the relay race, you know, they call it faint. People just get tired, get weary. Paul even said in Galatians, be not weary in well-doing. Last week we looked at, you know, God speaking to Abraham, you know, he obtained the promise after he patiently waited to hear. So Paul says, don't be weary in well-doing, because in God's season, in due season, you will see your harvest. You will reap if you faint not. So here Jesus is saying the same thing. Sorry that I'm reading this familiar scripture, but it's so important. We have to go back to this, what I'm about to share with you tonight, because the Bible even said in the book of Daniel that in the last days, Satan will wear out the saints. You know, we're not there when those were, but we are in the leading to the seasons, and we're seeing people getting worn out by culture, by the things we see, and by the waiting process, and we not see. So how do we overcome this snare to always give up? Men ought always to pray and not to give up. Verse 2, then Jesus says, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither rewarded men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. Vindicate me of this thing. Verse 4, and he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within, I want you to know that word, within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continued coming, she weary me. See, she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what this unjust judge says, a wicked man. And shall not God vindicate? Shall not God answer the prayers of his? Shall not God honor? Shall not God show himself? Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be long, see that word, long suffering with them? I tell you that he will vindicate them. God will vindicate them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man come, shall he find faith in the earth? This faith is that, you know, faith with patience, endurance, long suffering. So we all know the story, and but God is just bringing more out of this. The battle here is on the inside. You know, I talked about three dimensions of warfare, you know, and how we see. There's a spiritual warfare where the battle is in the spirit, of course, through prayer. But then there's a soulish realm, and then there's a physical realm, you know, where, you know, flesh and blood. So this is in the inside, the soulish realm, the battle of where really the battle of the heart, the fruit of the spirit, the soulish realm. He said this woman kept going to this judge and will not stop. And then a heartless judge, a wicked judge that has said no, changed his heart, changed his mind, and eventually said yes. And he says, this widow weary me. So you see here, he says, within him, that's where he changes. But so I want to read another scripture, and then we look at it together. And this is, again, is the same. These are the only two scriptures that Jesus used as reference to key in spiritual warfare, in prayer, in the area of the key to prayer. This is Luke 11. You know, they asked him, teach us to pray. And then he taught them what we call the Lord's Prayer. And then in verse 5, and he said, and he spoke, and he said unto them, you know, he spoke a parable. Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut. Again, here is another person saying, No, it's over. The door is now shut. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you. It's over. I cannot. The door is shut. This is no. It's finished. Just like the wicked judge. Then verse 8, I say to you, though he will not rise and give him, this door will never open. Because he is his friend, or because the person just goes to church, he expects this miracle to just happen. Yet, because of his importunity, the word persistence or perseverance, sustained waiting, he will rise. He will rise and give him as much as he wants. As much as he needed. Now he's saying, the person that has said the door is shut, I will not do this, it will not happen, turns around, gets up out of bed, and why? Because the battle on the inside, that's where victory takes place. You see, I started by saying, from the fall, we understand that. There's no denial of the fall. God came. And he has defeated, he's taking care of that part of, you know, defeated Satan. And now as believers, we're talking to believers now, Jesus is talking to believers. He's saying, the bread is there. Okay? This bread is there. He's saying the victory is there. The blood has defeated. Everything is there. Satan is defeated. That's clear. But he says, but for us to possess the promises of God, to receive the things that God has given to us, he says there's a battle. And it's a battle of faith. But it's not the faith like most people know. Faith comes by hearing, like you're hearing me now. Faith comes by that. You are inspired of the things of God from what you hear. But to manifest the things you are believing for by what you hear, there has to be a corresponding action. And that action is manifested by the testing of your faith. Now, I will show you how that works very soon. So Jesus is saying, just so you know what the key is, faith comes by hearing, but what you have heard, you will not see what you're believing for unless there is, you win the battle of time. You win the battle of time. Which comes from within. So the battle is not Satan up there. The battle is not that, okay, you're praying, we're believing, you know, we can get victories. But there are certain things that has to be transitioned from the spiritual realm to the physical realm. For example, God told Daniel, from the day you prayed, answer has been given. But what was the delay? You know, why did Daniel wait? So the battle for the soulish realm is sometimes where we abort our victories. We abort our promises. That's why Jesus says, men ought always to pray, don't faint, don't give up, or else you will not win. You not get to the finishing line. Or like Paul says, we should not be weary. We should not let the process wear us out. We should not let the enemy wear us out, and then we faint before our harvest, before our bread. Because God is saying, is a guarantee. God cannot lie. How will God refuse your prayers of day and night? How will God be unjust to your works, your work of love? No, God will reward. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder, and God answers prayer. But he says, to see all that we're believing and all we're praying for in the spirit, there is the battle of the soulish realm. The people that transition things from the spirit to the physical realm comes through the trying of their faith. And that trying of the faith is what Jesus described here as perseverance or long suffering. It's a fruit of the Spirit. If we don't have it, that's usually one of the biggest battles that causes us to give up. So that fruit is called long suffering, perseverance, that waiting. It says the judge, the woman had long suffering. The woman had perseverance. It has this fruit of long suffering. And she stayed on it. She is ready to wait him out. And the judge got to a point, he says, no, I can't handle this anymore. So the judge lost the battle inside, and the woman won. This same thing, if there was somebody on the inside and he was knocking for bread. The bread is there, but the bread cannot cross and come to the outside because there's somebody holding the bread. And that person and the person on the outside, there has to be, somebody has to win the battle of time. As they were fighting inside, the guy would say, knock, I will not come, I will not open. The guy kept knocking until the other guy on the inside lost patience. And the one that had patience eventually won. The one that had long suffering, he just kept knocking until the other one lost patience. Okay, you will not let me rest, so I'm just going to release this to you. He released the bread. The same thing with the enemy. Satan has no patience at all. But for us to win, we must have what we call long suffering. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. That word resist, it doesn't just mean one thing. No, it means the enduring process of intercession. Eventually, something will break. Something will give way. You know. So this battle of the not just only in the Spirit, but this character, having this character of the Spirit. How does this happen? Let me read a few scriptures to help us look at the way the Bible describes the way this happens. And you know, sometimes we don't realize what God is doing in our lives, but as we begin to experience things and receive the fruit of it, it begins to make sense. I've read the scripture many, many times and preached it many, many times, but you know, the word of God always comes with fresh understanding. It's in the book of James. It says, my brethren, James 1 verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith produces patience. Can you believe that? Produces patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be patient and entire, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Verse 6, listen to this. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Listen to what verse 8 said. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What is James talking about? For example, I receive a word from the Lord right now about maybe healing, about my son, or about this, or about that. I get excited. It might be a minor thing, it might be a headache, it might be whatever it is, it might be about money. The moment I receive that word from the Lord, I get excited, but I wait the next second, it's not there. I wait another day, it's not there. My mind begins to waver. I begin to have double mind. I begin to say, did God say, will this happen? Will this not? Did that? So, because that's our nature. We are a people born with a nature that has no patience in it. And without patience, faith is never been tested or tried. And it can produce. So, by nature, we're supposed to struggle. We're supposed to, you know. So, that's what testing does. So, the way our faith is built to have the ingredients, the character of endurance, to have the long suffering it takes to wait, because it's through faith and patience you receive promises. To wait, to endure the process of waiting, we have, our faith has to be tested. So now you tell me, I receive a word from the Lord, I receive a promise, I'm praying, and the thing doesn't happen in a day. Remember, what happens to you? Your mind begins to wander. All of a sudden, something starts telling you. Before you know it, you start becoming what the Bible called double-minded. That the James says, with that mindset, you cannot really get a breakthrough. What is a double-minded state? Double-minded means you are doubting and you believe. You're doubting, you believe. He said, let no man doubt, but have faith. So that doubt process is our flesh nature, our soulish man, that has not been refined through the testing of our faith. So the tendency, we're afraid something will happen, we're afraid our reputation, we're afraid this will happen, we're afraid what we're expecting. And guess what? We're afraid the God who created the universe, the God who has all power, who spoke to us, cannot do what he promised. You see, the problem is not with God. The problem is our soul, our flesh. So God, to bring us to the place where we make a difference, we become men and women of faith, our faith is tested. So that testing is to eventually remove and burn out the double-mindedness. Until we come to a place, the Bible says, James says, our faith is being tested through trials, and then through various trials, eventually it says our faith will become so powerful, it will have perfect patience, which is long suffering. And with that, there is no wavering. So what does it mean, testing of our faith? Basically, what James is saying is, we live in this world from the fallen nature. Satan is still there. Problems are still there. But God has given victory and has given us exceeding great and precious promises that came out of his own word. It cannot fail. It will happen. So now, we have Almighty God, but then we have this fallen world. So we go through situation, crisis at work, at school, at marriage, at money, whatever it is. No matter what the crisis is, God is saying, if you will trust my promises on that, it's a test of the faith. So eventually, it might be a little thing like David fighting a bear. It was a test. So James says, this testing or these trials or these circumstances, we should not, Peter says, see them as strange things. So if we begin to apply the principles of God based on it, no matter what it is, you will find out how much we trust. That's why I'm sharing this with you as women and men of faith. You will quickly find out how much this big God, we trust him. We'll see ourselves wavering or looking for an excuse to find an alternative for God doing what he said. But then, what happens? Now, let me read another scripture to you so you see why trials are a privilege for promotion. Not that we're praying to have trials, but it's an we take advantage of trials to grow our faith and to mature in the things of God, like gold is purified in fire. Look at what Paul, after several years, you know, there was a time in the book of 1 Corinthians, you know, Paul was going through something. But God, he was praying. Say, God, take this thing from me. But God answers prayers. But this particular one, God didn't reply like he would. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, he's saying, when you're weak, I am my strength will be sufficient for you. You know, because in your weakness, you know, I become your strength. There's an exchange. So what is God saying to Paul? I'm answering your prayers. But in this particular situation, I will not just let you bind the devil, do that, you pray. But this particular situation, I want to grow your faith. I want to use this situation to take you to a level where you will so trust me, you will so be built up, your faith muscle will be so big that you can handle serious situations. And you have such long suffering, you have such strength in you that you will not give up over every little trial. You will not. So after that and several other trials, do you know that there was a time Paul was in jail? Instead of trying to bind the devil, he was worshiping God. He's entered another realm of trusting God. And God just moved instantly in that jail. Now, here is what he wrote to the Roman church. Because the Romans were some of the last people he ministered to, you know, eventually when he was in prison in Rome and all those stuff. Look at what he said to these people in Romans chapter 5 from verse 3. He says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, in trials also, knowing that tribulation or trials, like James says, the crisis we go through produces patience. Look at what he used the word for producing. He says it produces perseverance. What did Jesus say about the person waiting at the door? He said the person was persistent. We're waiting with perseverance. The widow woman had something in her that caused the other person to lose patience. So he says, tribulation, trials. It begins with trials. If you allow it to test your expectation, produces patience inside of us. He says, and verse 4, and patience, experience. And that word experience in Greek is different from the normal experience most people use. That word experience here means character. Tribulations produces patience. You know, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. That's long suffering. And he says that long suffering now takes you to the level, it gives you that character of God. And then he says that character gives you hope. You know, no matter what you're going through, if you have hope, it's because you have the character of expectation. You don't give up. And this is what he always says in Romans chapter 5. He says, and hope does not disappoint. Hope maketh not ashamed. Hope does not disappoint. It does not make ashamed. Because why? The love of God is shed abroad in your heart. This is how love increases in us. This is how we increase in love. We grow in love. He says, your trials or the things we're going through are opportunities for us to trust God, stand with God. But in that process, that trial teaches us endurance. That eventually when we get a breakthrough, we see that, wow, we can wait and things will happen. And then when we go through another trial, we use the first trial that has given us courage that God will do what is promised. We wait again. So we kill the lion. Next time we can kill a Goliath. Next time we can rule. So Joseph went through a trial from his brothers to the pit. He survived that. Then he was taken as a slave. But because of the character that came out of that, Potiphar, among all the Egyptians that worked for Potiphar, a slave in Egypt, because of his character, in the midst of people grumbling or don't like their job, this guy had a good countenance. He had a good work. He was excellent. He was not complaining. And Potiphar said, you know what? You're the best guy in this place. I give you the job. Except for my wife, you have everything. I trust you with it. Character. And he came out of tribulation. And then when that character was like, Joseph thought, oh my, this is wonderful. I'm doing well. The next thing, Potiphar's wife lied against him. You would never see one place in the Bible where he complained, murmured. He went to jail for that. In jail, his character was so faithful that the person that is in charge of jail made him the head in the midst of that place. So you see, again, in a bad situation, he was able to allow God, give his attitude to God, and God shifted his character. And because of the change of his character, God was able to bring an anointing right there in his life that interpreted dreams. And from pit to prison, and then from prison, he went to the palace and now served as a king. Because now his character can be trusted to serve God at the highest level. So my brothers, in the kingdom of God, promotion is not so much by your gifts or by your academic ability. The promotion in the kingdom of God is by refined characters. And characters are not refined in any other way but through the attitude and the way you approach trials and how that builds it. So here, Paul just just nails it out. So Jesus is now telling us, you know, after, you know, Paul was crying, you know, like we cry. You know, I cried a lot, you know, when I go through things, you know, just cry, God, you know, why this, you know. But later, when you see the fruit, and then later, another thing happens, you see the fruit, and then later you see the promotion, you see the fruit, all of a sudden, it starts making sense to you that God works opposite of the ways of man. You know, and God uses what the enemy meant for evil to shape our character. If we will apply the right attitude and really surrender to God. Many people, after a while in the book of Malachi, started grumbling. God, I'm giving, I'm serving, I'm praying, nothing is happening. Because of their attitude in waiting, they did not receive. But those who had the right attitude as they were waiting, their character was refined. And God says they are like jewels. They will be like jewels the day God blesses them. And he wrote a book of remembrance. So we live in a generation where a lot of people have not been raised with the right character. We live in a generation where we are going to be confronted by very ugly characters. We're going to be slandered. People will lie against you. People will do all kinds of things. Especially, I mean, thank God, God used pastoring to teach me a lot. You know, so whatever your job might be, the place God wants to use to refine your attitude or your character towards the things of God, your husband, your wife, all these things are good soil for our spiritual growth. If we will give it to God, because my question always is, God, you are so big. You are God. What is limiting us? He says faith. So later I found out if it just hearing the word of God, and that's, you know, James says, faith without works is dead. Just hearing the word that is not being tested to find out if you believe the word is dead. But to hear the word and add action, belief to it, is great works, is where all things are possible. But to get to that point, we have to be tested. And that's why James used the word. I like that word he uses. He says, our testing produces, it's like it manufactures the fruit of the Spirit. So my brothers, we might not count it joy right now because some of the trials might be very, I mean, of course, who is happy? Our flesh is not happy. Our mind sometimes is depression. But as we begin to shift our attitude a little bit to God and beg him for grace, yield to him, seek for positive counsel, and just allow God to keep molding us, my brothers and sisters, basically, what long-suffering is this. Long-suffering, which is perfected faith, brings us to a place where it's impossible for us to be double-minded about the promises of God. If God has said something, you never change your mind anymore. Because there's something in you, a character that is willing to wait until you see it happen. And that character is what God is looking for when he says, God is looking in the earth, can I find an intercessor? One who will stand in the gap. What does that mean? One, like it says in Isaiah 62, that will not give up until they see the victory. For Jerusalem, for family, for job, for money, for whatever it is not easy. I have been through it. I say, how can God be so big? He can't take care of this. How come? And God is saying, no, I've taken care of it. Your faith is not there yet. You have not really broken to that place where you have the character with faith to really handle, you know, that. So that's why Jesus says, keep praying, don't give up. He's a rewarder of the diligent. God will not forget your good love of love. Your faith. You know, that's why he said the woman, keep going back to the judge. He never gave up. No matter the judge saying, no way. The friend at midnight is saying, even though you hear the door not closing, saying, what is God looking for? Character, endurance to finish and see that door open. So my brothers and sisters, God will not fail you. God will not fail the church. There are promises that makes that clear. God will not fail his generation. He's the creator. God is just looking for people who believe him enough to say, I will not quit the place of prayer. I will not give up serving God. I will not give up giving. I will not give up waiting on God. I will not look by what I see. I know that God has spoken. God is real. God is faithful. I will just endure. When you start getting little breakthroughs here and there, after a while, that's it. you will never turn back again. No matter what you're going through, you know eventually the victory will be greater than the farmer. So that's kind of the experience and some lessons I've learned in the midst of some of the trials and some of the things that I go out in and come through in. And now I'm learning to thank God for these things because they are stepping stones to the next level of promotion. So Father, I thank you so much for the faithfulness of your people. Many, they just want a shortcut to what you want to do. Many are seeking anointing and seeking miracles from very evil sources because they don't want to endure the process of you making this come true. The door and not through the window. Father, you said the thief is the one that goes through the different door, a different direction. But you want us to walk through this door. Father, teach us. Your word is very clear about patience, about endurance, about waiting, about trusting. Help us, oh God, to know that you will never fail us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. We will see victory. We will see deliverance. We will see salvation for this nation. But may we be found faithful on this altar of waiting for our families, for our children, for our jobs, whatever it is, you are big enough to change the situation if we find us faithful. So, Father, encourage your people tonight to stay committed because you are a rewarder. In Jesus' name, amen.